Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Berean Post devotional podcast. We're going to be doing things a little bit different here going forward. I've been looking at some of the statistics on the website just as a way of introduction before we get into today's topic. I just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the changes we're doing at the Berean Post. What I've noticed is that the demographics or the people that are accessing the devotionals that I'm putting up here are primarily coming from Google searches. I've been posting these as a blog on Facebook. And for those of you that might be interested, if you look at if you go to Facebook and look at, it's called Bright Future Bible Freaks. That's the name of our Facebook group. And there's people from all different perspectives. There's a lot of good conversation that goes on there. And so I just want to make that aware. But I've been posting the devotional there. And there's not too much traction coming from Facebook. But, you know, we're getting traction from Google Direct, right from the website. And the podcast seems to outperform the blog simply because I think people can listen to it rather than having to stop to read it or something like that. So we're going to be still doing the blog. We're still going to be posting it, but the focus in terms of pushing it out, we're going to be doing that. We're going to be focusing on the podcast rather than the blog. So the podcast will take priority. So having said that, I'm going to jump into today's passage. And we're going to be taking a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. And I'm just going to go ahead and jump into the text. And by the way, just let me, one thing about the podcast format, it's going to be a little less formal, a little more ad-libbing as we go along. So hopefully that'll make it a little more engaging. But please feel free. Not too many people have sent back any comments or response. But for those of you that have been consistently listening and reading, then please, I would encourage you to put your thoughts, your agreements, your disagreements, things that, you know, I may not have considered. That's really important as well, too. So, yeah, I'm probably going to create another podcast just giving a little bit about my testimony so that people can see where I'm coming from and see what I'm trying to do and what my motives and agenda is. But that won't be today. That'll be another time, so you can look out for that. But let's just jump right into the text. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12, as I said. Going to be taking a look at verses 4 to 6. Paul says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. We're going to be talking about spiritual gifts today. Now, we delve into a topic that has sparked intensive discussion within the church, particularly over the past century. You know, the birth of the Pentecostal revival, 1903 to 1906, I believe. But spiritual gifts, that's a big topic. And in our previous discussions, we noted that Paul begins this topic by informing the initial readers of his epistle that he intends to prevent ignorance regarding spiritual gifts. So in the following passage, Paul elaborates on the nature and the purposes, and the purpose, rather, of these gifts. He says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, in this particular podcast, we will list all the gifts of the Spirit found in the New Testament and provide a brief definitions. The definitions attached to these gifts are based on a common understanding of their functions and meanings. And as we proceed through chapters 12 to 14, we're going to focus on the gifts mentioned in chapter 12. Examining each one as we encounter them, we'll see if the definitions we assign to these gifts hold true by looking at examples of their operations within the first century church and as recorded in the Gospels and other New Testament writings. The Apostle Paul makes the first point that there is a diversity of gifts. And as we read the New Testament, we find that a comprehensive list of the gifts of the Spirit is not fully represented in any one passage. But below is an expanded list of the gifts of the Spirit, which still may not be exhaustive, but I did the best I could. So there's the gift of wisdom. The definition is the ability to apply knowledge in a practical and spiritual way to help guide others. And the scripture reference for that is, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, or the word of wisdom. That's 1 Corinthians 12:8. Then there is knowledge, and the definition of that is the gift of understanding and interpreting the profound truths of God. The scripture for that would be, to another, the message of knowledge, or the word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:8. Moving on to faith, the definition is an extraordinary confidence in God's promises, power, and presence. And the scripture, to another, the gift of faith by the same Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:9. And then there's healing, the ability to heal physical, emotional, or spiritual ailments through divine power. The scripture for that would be, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 9. Then there's miracles, which is different than healing, but miracles, the capacity to perform acts that demonstrate God's power transcending natural laws. And that's an important definition. A miracle, by definition, is where natural laws are broken. Okay. So and the scripture for that is, to another, miraculous powers. That's found in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Then there's prophecy. The gift of prophecy is speaking forth God's word under divine inspiration. The passage for that is, to another, prophecy, 1 Corinthians 12:10. Then there's distinguishing between spirits, the ability to discern the influence of the Holy Spirit versus evil spirits. And the scripture for that is 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another, distinguishing or discerning between spirits. Then there's speaking in different kinds of tongues. And the common definition for this is the ability to speak in languages not previously learned. And broadly, I can agree with that. And we'll probably get more into this whole thing about speaking in tongues as we get as we talk about that specific gift. But the passage for that is, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, 1 Corinthians 12:10. Then, of course, there's the interpretation of tongues, the capacity to interpret the meaning of passages spoken in tongues, or messages spoken in tongues, rather. The scripture for that is, to another, the interpretation of tongues. That's found in 1 Corinthians 12:10. Then moving on, we have ministry gifts, which is the apostle, and the special calling, commissioning by Christ to spread the gospel, establish church, and provide spiritual leadership. We can find that in Ephesians 4:11. And God has placed within the church, first of all, apostles, so that Christ himself gave apostles, Ephesians 4:11. Then there are gifts of teaching, or teachers, the ability to explain in God's word in a way that others can understand and grow in faith. If it is teaching, then teach, Romans 12:7. And God has placed in the church teachers, 1 Corinthians 12:28. So those are two passages there. Then there's the gift of helping, the capacity to support and assist others in practical spiritual matters. And God has placed in the church those able to help others. So that's a spiritual gift, 1 Corinthians 12:28. Administration, the gift of organizing and managing the affairs of the church effectively. Scripture, and God has placed in the church those with gifts of administration. 12:28, again, 1 Corinthians 12:28. Then there is serving, the ability to identify and meet the needs of others through various forms of service. If it's serving, then serve, Romans 12:7. Then there's encouraging. The definition of that is the gift of comforting, consoling, and urging others to persevere in faith. If it's to encourage, then encourage. Again, that's found in Romans 12:8. There is giving, the capacity to give generously and willingly to support the church's and its members' needs. If it's giving, then give generously, Romans 12:8. Then, of course, there's leadership, the ability to guide and direct others towards achieving spiritual goals. The scripture verse for this, if it's to lead, do it diligently, Romans 12:8. Then there's showing mercy. The gift of showing compassion and kindness to those in need. Scripture, if it's to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Then there's gifts of evangelism, the ability to proclaim the gospel effectively and bring others to Christ. The scripture is, so Christ gave the evangelist. That's Ephesians 4:11. Then there is pastoring. That's a one that we're all familiar with. And the definition is the gift of shepherding, caring, and guiding a congregation. So Christ gave the pastors, Ephesians 4:11. And then also Ephesians 4:11, rather. That's the one that I've got there. Got a typo here that I got to fix. All right, so many of the gifts of the Spirit mentioned in the New Testament have their counterparts in the Old Testament, demonstrating that God has consistently endowed his people with these abilities throughout history. Here are a couple of compelling examples of these gifts seen in the Old Testament. Solomon's renowned wisdom, a divine gift from God, is highlighted in 1 Kings 4:29, where it's described as measureless as the sands of the seashore. Similarly, Daniel and his companions were endowed with knowledge and understanding in all kinds of literature and learning, as noted in Daniel 1:7. Abraham's faith accredited him to was credited to him as righteousness in Genesis 15:6, and this exemplifies extraordinary trust in God's promises. Naaman's healing through the prophet Elisha in 2 Kings 5:14 showcased God's power to heal physical ailments. Moses performed numerous miracles, such as parting the Red Sea, while prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel spoke of God's messages to help people. The prophet Elijah discerned between the true God and the false prophets of Baal. And Nehemiah demonstrated the gift of help and administration by organizing and leading and rebuilding Jerusalem's walls. Moses provided leadership to the Israelites with God's promise to help him speak and teach. And Joseph served faithfully in various capacities, eventually prospering as a ruler in Egypt. So these examples illustrate that the gifts of the Spirit, while predominantly featured in the New Testament, have indeed been manifested by God's people throughout biblical history, underscoring their enduring importance of God's plan. In the New Testament era, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost introduced signs and miracles and gifts of the Spirit that were not evident in the Old Testament, marking a significant expansion of God's power and presence among his people. One such gift is speaking in tongues, where believers were enabled to speak in languages they had never learned, serving as a sign of the Holy Spirit's presence. Accompanying this was the interpretation of tongues, which allowed the meaning of these messages to be understood by others. The New Testament also saw a greater manifestation of healing, with frequent, widespread, miraculous healings performed by Jesus and the apostles, such as those recorded in Acts. Additionally, the casting out of demons became a notable sign of the kingdom of God, as Jesus and his followers demonstrated authority over evil spirits. The baptism of the Holy Spirit emerged as a distinct and powerful experience, often accompanied by speaking in tongues and other spiritual gifts. And while prophecy existed in the Old Testament, the New Testament emphasized the widespread availability of the gift of prophecy to all believers, fulfilling Joel's prophecy of God's Spirit being poured out on all people in Acts 2:17. So the New Testament era also witnessed the gifts of miraculous powers, including the raising of the dead and the performing of extraordinary miracles with greater frequency. Furthermore, gifts of words of knowledge and wisdom provided believers with specific revelations and insights from the Holy Spirit, offering guidance and solutions to complex situations. So the anointing, for instance, for evangelism empowered believers to effectively preach the gospel and lead others to Christ, resulting in the rapid spread of Christianity. Lastly, the gift of teaching enabled believers to explain and apply the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, fostering spiritual growth and understanding within the church. These gifts, signs, and miracles underscored the distinctive transformative work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament era, marking the establishment and the expansion of the kingdom of God in unprecedented ways that were not seen in the Old Testament. Well, that's all I got for today. And please, again, feel free to respond back with some questions or maybe some further insights. We don't claim to be the end-all, be-all to this stuff. We're just basically pointing out what we see here in the scriptures. But if there's things that you think are important that should be highlighted, then feel free, and we'll make sure that we mention that in our next episodes. All right, well, thanks for listening. I hope you tune in again. Again, this is Dwayne, and we are the Brian Post Devotional Podcast. We'll see you next time.